So we are checking in with Pat Ronan of Father Bill's in Mainspring to chat a little bit about how they are dealing during this challenging time, and more specifically about what the plans are for the upcoming holiday season. So Patrick, nice to virtually see you. How are you?
I'm good, Joe. Thank you so much for having me. It's always good to connect with you. I think we usually run into each other at Chamber of Commerce events or something out in the community. That certainly hasn't been the case the last few months. So it's really nice to at least connect this way and talk about what's going on.
Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity as well to let folks know, because it's not going to be like every other year for Father Bill's, is it?
No. I mean, I think, you know, Father Bill's isn't unique either. I think every single individual nonprofit business is entering a holiday season like never before. So challenging logistically, economically. This is unprecedented for us. As you know, Joe, in the past, for Thanksgiving, we have hosted a community meal in Quincy. We've been doing that for 30 years at Christ Church. We welcome anyone who's in need of a meal to come to Christ Church. We have dozens of volunteers who come out. Our own staff comes out and volunteers, and it's just an amazing day. Hundreds of people gather. And it's always been a special day. Obviously, with social distancing and a lot of the health guidelines that are in place, we are not doing that this year. And instead, to make sure that we're still able to feed any of our neighbors who are in need of a meal, we've expanded our meal delivery program. So we're still going to be serving meals to our guests at Father Bill's place. It'll be a staggered dinner, so everyone can still practice social distancing, but that'll be available to only the guests of the shelter. And then anyone else in Quincy or the surrounding towns, the housing authorities, we're going to be delivering meals to those people on Thanksgiving.
So who typically comes to that meal at the church, Patrick? Obviously your guests from the shelter, but who else in the community?
Yeah, I mean, every year, I mean, I've been with the agency now for almost 4 years. And I have to say, the first few times I went, and in my previous life as a Patriot Ledger reporter, I covered it a couple times. And it is certainly not just folks who are experiencing homelessness. A lot of folks who come may live alone, and maybe their family members have passed away, or they live out of state, so they're disconnected from family and friends. So it's someone who might be alone on the holiday and want to enjoy it with their community. Certainly, our guests and people who are in need and who don't have the means to cook their own meal. That's typically the types of individuals that come, is someone who's in need of the meal. But we also see that a lot of people will come for the companionship as well, which, you know, I think what makes Thanksgiving such a unique and special holiday in this country is it really is a coming together. And the tricky part is this year, how do we come together while physically apart to still give folks that feeling of companionship and care, and letting them know that they're not alone and that their community is there for them on this day.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I think that's so important. I've been to several of those dinners in the past as well, and I've heard from a lot of people who say, this is the only time of year I get to see so-and-so, you know, and I really look forward to it. And we always sit in the same seats, you know, at the table every single year. So there's going to be that sense of loss, you know, for that connection this year, certainly.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I'd say the conversations that come about, I remember every year I've gone, the meal will be over for an hour and you'll still have a few people hanging around having conversations about sports or, you know, anything that's going on in people's lives. And that part of it is going to be hard to, it's hard to replace that. We hope that by having volunteers delivering meals, we're going to be very safe in terms of contactless deliveries, but to still at least have some, you know, even at a distance, person-to-person, you know, interaction, I think will be good and make people feel a little less alone on the holiday.
Yeah, it's a great point. It's a great point because, yeah, the volunteers will miss that interaction as well. You know, they look forward to it probably as much as the guests.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and John Yaswinski, our CEO, he always looks forward to Thanksgiving, not just because of the community meal, but for him and for us at the agency, it's an opportunity to really sort of see a lot of our volunteers in person, because oftentimes during the year they're at our individual sites and we don't really get to see them regularly. So just like Thanksgiving can have that sort of reunion feel, whether you're coming home from college or you know, getting together with family, that's how it's felt for us too, is everyone who's sort of involved with the agency kind of comes together for that one day.
Yeah, and you could typically have, what, at least 100 people, probably more, that show up for that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think in past years we've had a couple hundred people. It's sure. Usually several rounds where we fill the entire church. So
Yeah, and I know the Reverend there, Cliff Brown, is always there for a special message as well.
Yes, it's and actually I should mention that it's they're still involved this year. They're a huge help. So that's going to be sort of our hub for the meal delivery operation.
Oh, okay.
So the church is still letting us use that dining function hall area to prepare the meals, and it'll be our hub. So you know, volunteers will bring the meals out as they're prepackaged. We're partnering with the caterer, and then volunteers will come to the church. The meals will come out, and they'll each have different routes in the community. Right now, we total across the agency, we are going to be providing about 1,000 meals on Thanksgiving, which
wow.
is actually the largest single day total in our agency's history. So that's sort of the silver lining here, is even though we're not able to come together, we're actually providing more meals than a typical year. And so of those, about 450 will be delivered to individuals and families in the Quincy area. And so we're going to have about 60 volunteers working throughout the morning and into the early afternoon to deliver those meals.
So how did you reach out to all these people, Patrick? And is it too late to get on board?
It's not too late. Well, actually, by the time this airs, technically Friday the 20th is our deadline for requesting a meal. But obviously, if someone is in need of a meal, we're not going to say no. We're asking folks, if you see this and it's a day or two before Thanksgiving, to call Father Bill's place at 617-770-3314. And you can let the staff know that you would like a meal delivery. What we're saying is sort of to qualify is that we did order, you know, about 1,000 meals, that we're getting close to that number. So we're almost at capacity, but if anyone sees this, they're in need of a meal on the holiday, to call that number and request a meal, and we'll do the best we can to fulfill it. And in terms of getting the word out, great organizations like QATV, the local media outlets, The Sun and The Ledger, social media, it's been, you know, really helpful to be able to utilize these critical outlets to get the word out, let people know, not just guests who need meals, but volunteers and supporters who want to know how they can give back.
Absolutely. Do you need more volunteers right now? How are you set for that?
Right now we are, you know, fortunately in a really good place with volunteers. We have reached capacity. So that's a mixture of returning volunteers who've volunteered at the Thanksgiving meals in the past, and then some new volunteers who've really stepped up during the COVID crisis. So we are all set. If folks are looking to give back just generally to our mission, we have a regular need for prepared meals at Father Bill's place and our satellite shelter at the Best Western. So I know that's not on Thanksgiving. A lot of people want to volunteer on Thanksgiving, which we totally understand. But if you want to give back, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, we'll still need to feed our guests, in a week after Thanksgiving and into the holidays and winter. You can go to our website, helpfbms.org/COVID-19 meals. And it has a list of sort of the individual needs. So that's a really great way for volunteers to give back, you know, even if they're just preparing meals at their home or partnering with the local restaurant that might be struggling. That's a good way to give back to two different organizations.
Great point. You mentioned something that you're using a caterer this year, because typically I know the culinary arts program at Quincy High School cooks up a whole mess of turkeys for your Thanksgiving dinner. And obviously that can't happen this year. So those kids are missing out on that experience too.
Yeah, Yep, Mr. Kelly and his class, they've just been amazing. Every year since I've started, I've always gone over and taken pictures, and it's always been nice to go, and you sort of get in. It's like, it was always like the Monday before Thanksgiving or the Friday before, and you go in and you see all the turkey and you smell everything, and you get, it's like, I remember it's always the time where I'm like really start to get into the holiday spirit, because you see, number one, all these kids volunteering, and you know, the local community giving back, but also there's all the food, and you get excited about the holiday. So yeah, we're going to miss them this year, but in a lot of the groups, the Hingham Congregational Church in the past has donated turkeys. A lot of those groups have opted to, you know, either donate to our Thanksgiving fund because we have the extra expenses due to the catering partnership. We're not going to be preparing anything on site for health reasons. So we're ordering all the meals, which comes at a significant cost. And we've established the Thanksgiving fund. And those who maybe have donated pies or turkeys in the past are now donating, you know, cash to that fund, which is ultimately going to help us cover those extra costs.
Okay. I remember, you know, years ago, Father Bill McCarthy would, right around this time of year, be out across Quincy picking up turkeys wherever he could, grocery stores and, you know, food pantries and churches and Boy Scout groups. This was his big push. So a little different this year.
It is. Yeah. He, you know, I was never fortunate enough to be able to meet Father McCarthy, but, you know, what I hear is he was just really out in the community and was the best fundraiser, you know, that there ever was. Cause he, you know, if he saw you and he knew that you had some capacity to give, he'd make the ask.
Oh, it'd be more than asked. There would be no saying no. It was just, you know, when and how much.
So hard to say no to a priest, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. We should talk, you know, in speaking with John over the past several months, I know that the costs to you know, pay for the pandemic at Father Bill's have increased exponentially. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, how you're dealing right now financially.
Yeah, well, thanks for bringing that up. You know, I think obviously, and it's tough because I know every organization out there and every family and individual is dealing with some economic uncertainty right now. But I think it is important to highlight the fact that this pandemic is certainly impacting those that are, you know, with the least of the means, the most disadvantaged. It's impacting them even more, you know, at extreme levels. So, you know, in our organization, we are spending an additional $300,000 per month on COVID-related costs, and that's to operate our satellite shelters, to buy extra food, which is why earlier I put in a plug for the prepared meals. You know, PPE, hire new staff, cleaning supplies. It adds up. We're fortunate we have a lot of great support from the state government and Mayor Koch and the city council they have been very helpful in terms of providing resources and support, but that operational deficit is there, and we're relying on our you know, donor base to try to help us make up the difference, because you know, this isn't ending anytime soon, and we're going to do all we can to protect not only our guests but our staff and the community at large, because by keeping the infection rate down at the shelter, we're also going to help keep the infection rate down throughout Quincy and in the South Shore.
Yeah. Have you heard any guidance at all, Patrick, yet about vaccinating your population, both your staff and your guests?
Nothing yet. I know that that's sort of their, you know, behind the scenes, some conversations about when the vaccine comes, what the, you know, the order will be in terms of who gets it and when they get it. And obviously the healthcare providers, those frontline workers are going to be among the first. So as an agency, we're certainly advocating for the shelters and saying our guests are vulnerable. A lot of them are elderly and have, you know, compromised immune systems. Our staff are frontline workers. So we're hoping we are, you know, our frontline workers and our guests are high up on that list.
Of course, yeah. But in the meantime, as you mentioned, you still have to deal with it, you know, with the mask wearing, with the sanitizing, with the social distancing, presenting, you know, your own unique set of challenges. How many guests are up at the Best Western?
We have about 70 guests per night at the Best Western. Wow. So, you know, because of CDC guidelines before, as you know, at the shelter before the pandemic, we were sheltering probably between 130, 150 people per night. It's a building that really is only meant for about half of that, the old, you know, RMV at 38 Broad Street. And so due to COVID, we've created the satellite site. So now 70 people at Best Western, and there are about 40 guests at the Father Bill's Place shelter. So we're still operating at 38 Broad, just at a limited capacity, so everyone can properly social distance.
Sure. And how about down at Brockton at Mainspring House? Same situation there?
Yep. We've been fortunate, to have community support from you know, local municipality, the mayor, in the state, where we have a satellite shelter as well at the Roadway Inn Motel. So similar situation where we have, you know, some people at the Mainspring House in downtown Brockton, and then the other half of our population is staying at the motel. And, you know, that's, if anything, it's illuminated the fact that, like, physical space has never been obviously more important. And it's obviously sad that it took a pandemic for us to really take a hard look at what it means to have physical space. And it really can mean the matter of life or death during a pandemic. So we're hopeful that going forward, when this crisis is over, we can take a hard look at how we provide shelter and housing to our most vulnerable, and that we can't go back to the days of having crowded shelters where we're putting out mats on the floor in dining halls, that is just not the way to approach this, regardless whether it's a pandemic or not. You know, we have enough space, we have enough housing. How do we make sure that nobody is sleeping on the ground or in their car or outside?
Yeah, I know long-term is your plans for the new housing resource center right across the street there on Broad Street to kind of change the whole model of how you deal with homelessness. Like you mentioned, more of a long-term solution rather than a crisis emergency shelter. That I'm sure is going to be a challenge going forward, but one challenge at a time, right?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, again, you look for the silver linings during a time like this, and the opportunity to move forward with the Housing Resource Center is something that gives us hope for brighter days ahead, because that really would transform how we, you know, how we address homelessness, which is a public health crisis. And to be able to basically move away from the system now, which is an overnight shelter, and for lack of a better word, we're sort of warehousing human beings. Mm-hmm. How do we move to a supportive day center where we're moving further upstream? So if someone is at risk of becoming homeless, we're connecting them with the rental assistance, the supports, maybe referring them to a community partner if they're struggling with substance abuse, mental health, mm-hmm. To prevent them from becoming homeless in the first place. To me, it's just like the sort of like healthcare model of the ER is the last place you want to go. That's really the last resort. It's usually the most expensive, and the same is the case with shelter. It's the most expensive option to end up at that emergency service. So you get the preventative care, you know, and that's so, you know, you go to your annual physical and you see your specialist, and hopefully you don't have to go to the ER because you made those, you know, you have those preventative measures in place. So that's our goal, is to set up a day center. We'll still have emergency shelter, but we want to not just manage the homelessness issue. We want to end it, and the best way to end it is to prevent people from coming homeless in the first place.
Yes, proactive rather than reactive, right? You mentioned substance abuse and mental health issues. Are you seeing that your guests are having more difficulty accessing those services due to the pandemic?
I'd say the thing that we're seeing the most, and this is, they're seeing this across the state, is that the number of people sleeping outdoors has risen significantly since COVID started. In the Quincy area, it had tripled. You know, we were seeing 40 or 50 people sleeping outside, whereas before, you know, you'd maybe have a couple people. And I think there are a number of different factors there. One being the fear of maybe being in the shelter and catching the virus. And then those other issues you talked about in terms of mental health, substance abuse, those can play a factor as well. I think everyone, whether you're experiencing homelessness or not, this is challenging, you know, challenging you in ways that you never really, you know, could prepare for. So I think across the board, we're seeing that those issues are kind of surfacing, mm-hmm. and which makes our services more important than ever, because right now a support system is needed. And that's more than just a hot meal and a bed, but also someone who's there to say, it's going to be okay. You're not going to get, you know, I don't have to be alone during this. That's so critical during a crisis like this. It's just knowing that you're not alone and that your community is with you, and that you're going to get through it, that there's hope.
Yeah. Do you actually have a team like in Boston that goes out looking for folks who are on the street?
Well, it's interesting. We have a full-time outreach worker in Brockton, because that was really the only need prior to the pandemic was, you know, folks in Brockton would be sleeping outside and you'd see encampments set up. So that was really the only need. But now, as we're seeing it, the unsheltered population go up, where now all of our workers are you know, rehousing case managers in Quincy and Brockton are sort of part of their jobs that's become the outreach to go out and find out where people are staying, letting them know that we're social distancing at the shelter and that there are services available for them, that we have a protocol in place where new intakes in partnership with Manit Community Healthcare in Quincy, that we're testing our guests. Mm-hmm. So that outreach has become more important. And we hope that, you know, that we have more dedicated resources for that outreach program going forward.
Okay. And it gets more critical, of course, as the weather turns colder as well. You know, you don't want anybody out in the harsh winter.
No, I mean, what is it? We're taping this on, you know, after a few days where it was very cold and it felt more like January, and you go outside for 5 minutes and you're like, can you imagine spending the night out here? And it's heartbreaking and it's life threatening. So yeah, those outreach services are critical.
Yeah. Can we talk a little bit about the holidays, Patrick, and some of the needs that you will have through the end of the year?
Yeah. So the holiday season, you know, it's kind of in full swing now that we're here at Thanksgiving, but it's our biggest time of the year in terms of fundraising and collecting donations from our supporters. And just like Thanksgiving, our year end, our, you know, for Christmas and holiday giving, we're shifting a little bit due to the pandemic. Whereas in the past, maybe we would be encouraging supporters or asking supporters to hold drives, donate toys, some of those items, for capacity reasons, storage reasons, and just safety reasons in terms of it delivering the items and such. We're really asking folks if they could consider making a monetary donation, which provides the most flexibility for us as an agency. And also consider maybe giving gift cards. Mm-hmm. Gift cards not only help our the families that we serve, because it allows the parents to go out and buy gifts for their kids, but obviously gift cards take up a lot less space. They're easier to transport. Just from a logistical perspective, during COVID, gift cards are the ideal way to support our mission right now. And I'll send, you know, I don't know if I want to put up the flyer here.
Yeah, let's show folks exactly what you're talking about so they can get a sense at least. Yeah.
So there's our holiday. Is it up there, Joe?
Yeah, I see it fine. All right.
So there's, you know, the gift cards, as I was talking about, any of those large stores, Walmart, Target, Stop and Shop, Shaw's, CVS. And then as you'll see, some of our ongoing needs There's a list there, and these are items needed to shelter year round. There's winter gear that we'll certainly need. So if supporters out there are truly looking to hold a drive for us and they've already started the process, these last two items down here, the ongoing needs and the winter gear, that's what we really need. But again, we're hoping folks can consider giving us a cash donation or a gift card. And then I should mention that typically we have holiday shopping days at Father Bill's Place in Quincy and Main Spring House in Brockton, where all of our shelter guests sort of, we convert our dining hall into sort of a holiday shopping area with tree and decorations, and local musicians come in and volunteer and play Christmas music. And it's really a festive day. Obviously we won't be doing that this year due to COVID, but we are going to be putting together gift bags for all of our guests. And here's a list of some of the smaller items that we'll be looking for to fill those gift bags. So again, gift cards, cash would be our preference, but we realize that buying items and presents is a big part of the holiday season. The gift bag items, the winter gear, and some of our ongoing shelter needs are all listed on this flyer, and I'll send that over to you as well, Joe.
Great. Yeah, I'll be happy to share that for you. I know personal hygiene items are always tops on the list for obvious reasons. You know, you go through those very quickly, so those are helpful. And the gift cards, you know what you need more than anyone, so you can take those and purchase what you need.
Yeah, I mean, gift cards, it's tough. Even with your own family and friends, it doesn't necessarily always feel like the most personal gift. And part of giving that gift is you want it to be personal, but you're allowing the participant or the guest at our shelter to have really, they get to make the decision. Whatever it is that they need, they'll be able to buy. And for our families, you know, we serve, we have housing units in the Quincy area with dozens of families. Those parents will be able to go and make sure that there are gifts under the Christmas tree this year with those gift cards.
Yeah, just think about how you feel when you go out and you're able to purchase something that you need for yourself. You're giving that gift, that power, you know, that freedom to go out and purchase it to somebody who doesn't have that. So, I mean, there's the gift right there.
Exactly. That's it. That's the pitch for the gift card right there, Joe. I'm going to steal that.
Yes, it's not patented. It's not. But in the short term, can we recap again what's happening on Thanksgiving?
Yes. So, for Thanksgiving, we, sadly, because of COVID, we're not going to be able to hold our community meal on Thursday at Christ Church. But in lieu of that, we're expanding our meal delivery. So we'll be delivering meals to about 450 people, households in the Quincy area, including the local housing authorities. In addition to serving meals to our guests at Father Bill's Place, which is going to be open to guests only. So if you are in need of a meal, please reach out to Father Bill's Place at 617-770-3314 to request a meal. The deadline for meal requests was Friday, November 20th, but we will still be accepting requests up until the holiday. And if you are looking to make a difference, we are capacity for volunteers for Thanksgiving, but we are certainly in need of meals throughout the winter and throughout this COVID crisis. And you can go to our website, helpfbms.org, to learn more about those needs.
Great. And do you know, Patrick, does Father Bill's participate in the Amazon Smile program? Because a lot of folks are going to be shopping online this year, I'm sure.
Yes, we do. Thank you for mentioning that, because I think, everyone's going to be shopping online this year. So we are part of Amazon Smile. If you go to our Facebook page, I think like once every week or two, we're going to be posting the link to our Amazon Smile. So you can just click and start your shopping there. And a portion of the proceeds will go toward our mission.
Yep. It costs you absolutely nothing. And it does a world of good for Father Bill's. So
yep.
There's no downside to it. Sure. Anything else we should touch on right now, do you think?
Just to say thank you to our community. This is such a, unique time. And I think not just for our agency, but for our community, for our country, this is a really challenging time, and around the holidays, this is going to be a tough stretch here, and we can't physically be together, but we feel very much supported by our community. The local churches in Quincy are regularly calling us and asking what they can do to help. Local officials, donors, volunteers. The outpouring of support has been so strong. We're reminded every day that we're not going through this alone. And I think during a time like this, it's important to know that we're together. And so I just want to say thank you to everyone who's thinking of our mission and to think of our neighbors in need during this tough time. And thank you to you, Joe. You've always been so kind and sharing your airwaves for our mission and letting us get the word out.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We have a great team here as well that embraces you and all the social service agencies here in Quincy. That's part of our mission is outreach to the community. So thanks for mentioning that. To you, Patrick, and your colleagues and your family, a very happy, healthy holiday season. Thank you.
Same to you and yours, Joe.
Thank you very much.
All right. Take care.